So I'm not gonna preach for very long today. All right. Wait. Let me try that again. I'll give you another chance. I'm not gonna preach for very long today. All right. Good. But I am gonna tell you three short Christmas stories, and at the end, I just want to wrap it all up. And you might not understand how the three stories really relate to each other, but in the end, I'm going to throw them together that you'll understand why. The first story I want to tell you is last Christmas was a very special Christmas for me. I've got three beautiful angels, Shayla, Tyler, and Megan, and they gave me some real special gifts last year. Megan gave me a wallet, and you're like, oh, wallet, no big deal. No, it was a big deal, because I would always, like, have things, like, not together, and somebody got me a wallet. Well, I loved it, because, you know, I had a wallet for a long time, and I organized everything, and everything was together. Well, one night, it was particularly irritating to me, because I always lock the car before I come in. And this night, I was intending to lock in the car, but how many know we have some dogs in our house? Yeah. We are dog blessed at our house. By the way, we just got another dog. Can you believe it? Is that unbelievable? You're like, Pastor, are you nuts? Yes. Yes. Crazy. But Riley, and oh my goodness. Do we have a picture of Ryder and Riley? They are, what are they, Tamara? Yeah, Husky. So we had Ryder, you know, he was my dog, Megan's dog, but I call him my dog. But he would always play and like, and then he would like, anyway, we got a girl dog for him. So now he plays even more and they just play all day long. It's crazy. But that's not my point. My point is that the dogs were running all over and I forgot to lock the door of my car. The next day, I looked at the car and I could tell somebody just rumbled through the whole car. They took my wallet. And so Megan got me a new wallet, and it was just a really classy, cool wallet. It was just really cool. My son Tyler last year got me a really, really nice watch. And it was a really cool watch. But not only is it a cool watch, but on the back side, he wrote some things. What do you call it when you have that? Engraved. He engraved it, and he told me he loved me, and he told me what a great example I was, what a godly example I was to him. And it just meant a lot to me. And then Shayla bought me a real nice bracelet. It was a silver bracelet, really, really nice. And then she had it engraved, and she engraved something that we used to say to each other when she was growing up. So just really, these gifts were really, really special gifts. How many know that, how many have gotten some special gifts sometimes? They weren't ordinary gifts, they were special gifts sometimes. How many got some gifts sometimes, and you look at it and you're like, oh, come on, you're in church, you know, it's like, oh. You know what I mean? And how many know we should be grateful for getting any gift? Amen. You know what I mean? Why? Because somebody's, you know what I mean? So, hey, smile might not be perfect, but just smile and you know, whatever. Give it away next year or something like that. Anyway, that's a joke. Okay. But what I'm saying is, you know what? There's all kinds of different gifts. Let me illustrate. How many know if you got me a $20 In-N-Out card? How many know that would be a good day for me? Be like, yeah, cool. But how many know if you bought a chest and put $1 million in that chest and gave me that chest with $1 million in, how many know that would be better than the In-N-Out card?
Yeah.
Come on, are y'all here? It's different. It's a different gift. And gifts are qualified really in two different ways. They're qualified in a lot of different ways, but one of the two main qualities of a gift are really how much that gift costs the person who gives it.
Yeah.
And really, what effect does it have in the person who receives it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That was a really special Christmas, and I received some really, really special gifts. That's my first story. My second story is years ago, I used to work at Albertsons, and it was a wonderful job. It was a fun job. I loved it. It was a blessing, and I was bivocational, but praise God, it provided for Tamara and our family, and it was a blessing. Well, on Christmas was a special time in the grocery store. You know what? Thanksgiving and Christmas, everybody's little nutso, you know what I mean? And you get to experience all that nutso right in front of your face, and it's just an interesting time. You know what? That guy comes in, you know, it's Thanksgiving, and he's buying a frozen turkey at 10:30, you know what I mean? And it's like, hey, dude, that ain't going to work. No, man, I'm just going to cut it in half. Dude, you're not going to. No, man, I'm going to cut it in half. I'm going to throw it in the microwave. And my wife told me 2 weeks ago to get it, and I forgot. Like, hey, brother, just go to the lunch meat section. You know, buy a bunch of turkey, you know what I mean? And just kind of form it in a turkey, you know what I mean? Because that frozen thing is not going to work. But so interesting, because just all kinds of stuff. But Christmas was a very special time. Christmas Day, we all had off because the store was closed. But Christmas Eve was really cool because everyone had to work. First of all, everyone in Monrovia is coming into the grocery store to get their stuff. And so we all had to work. Usually in the grocery store, they gave you way too much work and not enough time. They wouldn't schedule enough help. But on New Year's or Christmas Eve, everyone had to work, so we had plenty of help. We got to take a half an hour break. You know what I mean? People would dress up. It was just really festive time. We closed early. We closed at 6 and would try to clean the place up as much as we could, and then I'd drive home. And as I was driving home, it became striking to me. I worked in Monrovia, and I lived in San Gabriel. So even though I had to get on the freeway for some of the time, most of the time I was going through residential neighborhoods. And it was striking to me because so many of the homes were decorated. And you know how it is. Some homes are decorated really, really nice. You know what I mean? You can tell that they're organized. They got, you know, it's all color coordinated. You know what I mean? Then how many know other homes are just hodgepodge? Just like, you know, some Christmas explosion happened. You know what I mean? It's all kinds of. But nevertheless, as I'm coming home, all kinds of homes are decorated. And here's what I'm recognizing. That some of these people were Christians, and they knew the real meaning of Christmas. Some of these people were probably not Christians, and they really had no idea what the real meaning of Christmas is. But they still were out there on December 3rd or 10th or 12th putting up Christmas decorations. It was striking to me because whether they knew it or not, they were all celebrating Christ's birth. Amen. You know, that's true as far as what year we're in. You know what? The whole world is marked by the birth of Jesus Christ. Listen, no one has meant so much to so many people than Jesus Christ. Our calendar, you know what? AD is a Latin word that means in the day of our Lord. So when Jesus was one, you know what? Whatever date it was, what was it? One. They're marking the calendar is based on Jesus's birth. 2019, what is that? 2019 years since Jesus Christ has been here. It is still marked. People all over the world are marking time based on Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And as I drove home, it was striking to me that there were so many people, and I knew some of them knew who Jesus was, and they were born again, and some of them weren't. But many, many, many homes celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you one more story. And this story is found in Luke chapter 2. I have it up here on the screens. You know what? And I want to read you this story. Luke chapter 2. And I'll start with verse 7. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds lying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy with all the people of joy, which will be for all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of a heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill to men." So it was then the angel had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem." Guys, I want you to watch this video for a minute. I want to talk to you just for a little bit longer about the shepherds. See, we don't kind of understand it exactly because we don't come from a Jewish culture. But in that day, back there, these shepherds, they were all Jewish. And there was great significance of what was going on. You see, the prophets had prophesied, there's going to be one coming, there's going to be one coming, there's going to be one coming. You know what? He'll be the Messiah. He'll be God on this earth. He's the one who's going to save you. And that's what the angels say. In the city of David is coming a Savior. Let me talk about a Savior. We need a Savior because we need to be saved. Amen. Here's the reality. Here's the reality. And people want to act like, let me tell you what's true. Let me testify. Let me testify this Christmas Sunday in what's real. God is real. Amen. This book is real. You know what? It's so interesting because we live in what's becoming so secular of a society. But let me tell you the truth. God is real, and his book is real, and his messages were real. He had messengers that would prophesy and talk about Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. There is one who is going to save you. Now, let's talk about Jewish culture for a minute, because it'll help us to understand the significance of what those shepherds understood. For years and years and years and years, themselves, their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers understood sin. See, we don't really understand sin. We think, why? Because we live in a culture that says, you know what? There is no God, and I can do whatever I want to do. I'm going to make my own rules. You know what I mean? If it's good for you, that's good. But that doesn't mean that that's good for me. What's good for me is what I proclaim, what I deem good. Listen, that is completely different than what God says. You know what James said? Let God be true and every man a liar. There are things that, you know what, that God sets up, listen, not to be in your face, but for your protection. God is the one who designed us, and he knows you better than anyone else. But we live in a society, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And then it goes on, Paul writes Timothy, and he goes on to prophetically talk about, listen to me, the day that we're living in now, where men are boastful, and they're rude, and they're disrespectful, you know what, to the parents, and they think that that's okay, and here's why, because they deem it okay. How many know you can justify just about anything in your life? You know what? And how many know you see things from your perspective? Well, God says, you know what, no, you know what, my ways are higher than your ways. I made you. You didn't make me. I made you. So God has this plan of redemption. Now let me talk about God, because sometimes God gets a bad rap. Let's go back a little bit. Can we go back a little bit? Let's go back to Genesis, okay? In Genesis, here, God created Adam and Eve. That's what he did. That really happened. Let me get to that in a second. Let me just talk about the reality. You know what? The world says, the secular world says, at most of the universities and most of the places that are teaching, you know what, young people nowadays, they're saying God doesn't exist. They're saying that we were developed out of this system of that I don't know how many billion years they say. I think they say 6 billion, that there was this dot of energy. You know how big the dot of energy was? According to the scientists. Well, some scientists. They say it was smaller than the head of a pin. And they can't tell you why. But something happened and the thing went boom. And when the thing went boom, everything that you see was created. The galaxies were all started to be created from this bam. Okay. Here's reality. Reality is that the fact that you and I are living is there are millions of things that have to happen just perfectly in order for us to be here. And I just think that's way more coincidence to even handle. I believe it's so much more believable that God created the heaven and earth. Okay. But my point is, if we were just take one. If we were just a fraction closer to the earth, to the sun. We'd all be, you know what? You ever get those French fries where they keep them in the grease too long? That's what we'd be. We'd be like, okay. If we were just, listen, this is reality. This is the truth. If we were just a fraction farther away from the sun, you know what would be? We would be popsicles. We'd be like freeze frame, like all the time. You know what I mean? That, which is ridiculous. There wouldn't even be life. Listen, I could go on and on because there are not thousands of these perfect things. There are millions of them that would have to happen just perfectly for you and I to be here. God created the heavens and the earth. And the sixth day, God created Adam. God created man. Let me tell you about God, because God gets a bad rap. Here's what God says to Adam and Eve. All these trees over here, you can eat all of them. See how all these trees, any of the fruit of those trees, you can eat. See all these fruit trees back here, you can have any of those, all of them. Any of them, pick any of them. All these back here, any of them you want. Oh, over here, help yourself. Over here, help yourself. Oh, there, help yourself. Help yourself. All these, eat any of the fruit you want. Except this tree. This tree, there'll be consequences if you eat. Can somebody, you say, Pastor, I don't even know your point. I can't relate to what you're saying. Come on, how many can relate to what I'm saying? And guess what? Adam and Eve ended up, you know what, being around this tree. Listen, maybe your life isn't what it should be because you're too close to the forbidden fruit. I don't know who that's for, but I would just say, stay far away from what God says, stay far away from. So they eat the fruit, and sure enough, sin comes into the world. Now let me tell you about sin. We think sin's no big deal in our culture, because whatever you do, you can do. Whatever I want to do, I can do. But let me tell you what, sin is a big deal to God. And here's why. Because God is perfect, and he will not tolerate, you know what, any sin in his presence. Because of that, how many know we're all in trouble? Notice in the passage when the angels say that Christ has come for everyone. How many know Christ came for everyone because everyone needs Christ? Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is this not true? You know, if Paul and I, let me illustrate. If Paul and I were playing basketball. Why are you looking at me like I've already lost? Knock it off. If Paul and I were playing basketball, and if Paul said, you know what, hey, you know what, let's have a slam dunk contest. Okay. How many know I would lose? Okay. But let's do this. Let's raise the net. Let's raise the backboard to 14 feet. How many know if we raise the backboard to 14 feet? No. Let's raise it to 20 feet. Okay. How many know I'm not going to be able to slam that? How many know neither is Paul? And for Paul to walk by me and go, dude, you know what? I jumped this high and you jumped this high. How many know we both missed it by a mile? Okay. Now, how high did I have it? Okay. Let's put it 50 feet. Here, let's put it 100 feet. Now, would it be ridiculous for Pastor Paul to criticize me because he jumped this much higher than I did?
That's right.
See, that's what the Bible says in Romans. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, we all, every single one of us, are so far short. And listen, yeah, no duh. Some of us are, you know what? Some of us might be more righteous than others. But how many know without the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all jacked up? Every single one of us. And so the the shepherds who understood this, why did they understood this? Because they were Jewish. God said, here's what we're going to do. We have to have a substitute to pay the price for your sin. So here's what let's do. Let's have these animals and we'll sacrifice these animals. Now, there was all kinds of different sacrifices that I don't have time to go into all the details of each one and what they all meant. But let me just talk about the blood sacrifice, or the burnt sacrifice. The burnt sacrifice was done every morning and every night. Every morning and every night. Every morning and every night. And the animal would come out, and there would be a man that would lay his hands on the head of the animal. Why is he laying his hands on the head of the animal? Because God wanted this imagery of understanding that that animal was going to die to cover that man's sins. So there was going to be this transfer of his sins into this animal, and then the animal would die, and the man was free for a little while. Okay? But the reality is, Hebrews says that all the sacrifice of all these animals, it didn't really cover any sin. All it did was, all it was there for was a picture, a shadow, a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ, who was going to come, their Messiah that was going to die on a cross someday and take all our sins. That's all it was there for. It was a shadow. And these shepherds at this point in time had watched probably thousands, tens of thousands of animals being slain. And the next day, listen to me, and the next day there would still be another animal that had to be slain. They're in the fields, and all of a sudden they look up and there's an angel, and the angel is saying to them, and I'm paraphrasing, hey guys, right now, the birth of the Messiah is taking place in that city about 2 miles away from you, right now. And from now on, you know what? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all men, because God is bringing the real sacrifice. He is going to take all your sin away from you, and there will be no more animal sacrifice, because there needs to be no more animal sacrifice. And they knew it. They knew, oh my goodness. Now, let me wrap all this up. There's all kinds of gifts that we're given. But no gift has been given to us that cost as much as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cost his Father having to see him go on the cross and suffer and die. And no other thing could mean to us anything more than from now on, if Carlos accepts the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came and died for Carlos, all he has to do is accept that gift and all his sins. And when he dies, guess what? He won't have a sin problem. Listen, we think sin's not a big deal. I mean, really, can I be real with somebody? We think sin's not a big deal. And it's not a big deal now. Why? Because we live in something called the dispensation of grace. What does that mean? It's just a fancy word to say we live in a time where the grace of God is over all of us. But read your Bible. That time is going to be closed. And once that time is closed, then you are going to be responsible for your sin. Listen, the Savior came for all of us. You know why? Because we all need a Savior. And we're living in this Christmas season, and we got Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, who had a very shiny nose. We got Frosty the Snowman. Do you know what we got? You know what? What do we got? We got the Grinch. You know what? We got Frosty. We got all kind of stuff. You know what? We got, what's that song? Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Come on, does somebody know this song? Does somebody know this song? Come on, raise your hand if you help me out. Help me preach this. Does somebody know this song? Does somebody know who wrote that song? Mariah Carey didn't write that song. Who wrote that song? Who wrote that song? George Michael. Let me tell you about George Michael. Who's George Michael? Look it up on the internet. You guys are too young. Wham. Don't get me going. Anyway, here's the point. Listen to me. Tamara and I watched an interview with George Michael, and George Michael says this. He says, he died at 53. You know what I mean? You know, they said he died of natural causes. I heard, you know what, Dr. Drew say, you know what, all those causes, none of that was natural. All of that is induced by drugs. I'm not trying to slam his character. I'm just saying, you know what, that, you know, people don't die of natural causes typically at 53 years old.
That's right.
And here's my point. My point is to say this, that I heard George Michael himself say, you know what? The world has all this stuff for you. And they tell you once you're going to get it, it's going to cause you to be content. And then you get it, and you're not content.
That's right. Come on.
What was he doing? I don't even know that he knew what he was doing, but he was testifying that everybody needs a Savior.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a Savior. And as I'm driving home, to be with my family, I recognize there's all these people and they're hanging Christmas lights. And they don't even know, many of them, what they're doing. They don't even know who they're celebrating. There was a great story of a pastor, and this pastor had a lady in the church, and she was just very, very poor, and he was able to scrape up some money to give to her, and he went over to her house. And he knocked on the door. And he knocked on the door, and it seemed like she was home. It she had some lights on. He thought he could hear the television, but he knocked on the door, and no one answered. So he knocked louder, and he knocked louder, and still no answer to the door. He finally gave up, and he went home. Well, that Sunday, he saw this person in church, and he went up to her and said, "Hey, I came by on Thursday, and I came, you know what? I had something for you, and I wanted to give you something." And he said, I thought you were home, but you know what I mean? But I guess not." And she said, "No, Pastor, I'm sorry, I was home." And he said, "Well, why didn't you answer the door?" And she said, "Because I'm late on my rent. I thought that you were the landlord and you wanted something from me." And he said, "I didn't want anything from you. I just wanted to give something to you."
Yeah.
How many know that's God?
Yeah.
I don't have the picture. But if I had the picture, you know what, it's a famous picture, and it's Jesus Christ, and he's standing at the door, and it comes from the passage in Revelation that he says, "I stand at the door and knock." How many are familiar with this picture? And he's standing on the door. Look at the picture. There's no doorknob on the outside. Why? Because God can only stand on the door and knock. I've gotten a lot of really nice gifts for Christmas, gifts that really meant a lot to me. Let me tell you, the best gift I ever got for Christmas was the gift that God the Father gave me 2019 years ago when he sent Jesus Christ to this place. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, you say, "Pastor, I'm not sure I'm a Christian." Well, don't walk away not being sure. All you have to do is ask. Just like the angel said, Christ came for all people. That all people could be you today. if you want to accept Jesus, I want you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm just going to pray a prayer with you. But I can't pray that prayer for you. You have to pray it for you. You have to ask. I can't ask God in your heart. You have to do that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Right there. Yes, I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. You can put that hand down. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you guys for raising your hands, for standing up. Thank you. Can you say this with me? Just say it in. Just say it out loud. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from the inside out. I'm tired of running my own life. I want to make you, Lord. I need your blood to take away all my sin. I accept Jesus in my heart today. In his name I pray. Amen. Now, I want to, amen, amen, amen. I want to give you, I want to say one more prayer with you. If you feel like this prayer, for some reason, you were just like, I want to get closer to God. I want to pray with you. You know what? How many want to get closer to God today? Father, you see the hands that are up. Go ahead and raise your hands all over the room. Father, you see the hands. We want to get closer to God. Let this message have inspired us today. May 2020, may we get closer to God than we've ever been. May the mistakes and trip-ups and falls that we made in 2019 and 2018 and any of those years behind, Father, may we put them behind us. Father, we thank you that you will help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be here today.
Merry Christmas. Actually, I want to reference real quick that George Michael interview. What he specifically said, and I guess there was, I didn't know this, but I guess there was a lot of controversy on his life, whether he had suicide attempts or accidents. You know what? And so, but what he, here's exactly what he said. He said that he had achieved so many accomplishments in his life, and here's his words, quote, "But I still have this hole." He said, "There's a hole that I just don't seem to be able to fill." And if you know the Lord, then you know, you know what I mean? Just the reality that only the Lord can fill that hole. Only the Lord can fill that hole. So it was a very interesting documentary. It was, but his specific words, and when he said it, you just knew. You know what I mean? Just the truth that was there. I said Merry Christmas. I wanted to do that. And the only other thing I want to leave you with is to say that Christmas time is an interesting time. Matter of fact, I think suicides are higher at Christmas time than any other time. And one of the reasons that is because people, they look at the joy and the festivity of the season, and then they say, "But what about me?" Or, "I don't have." And we have a tendency to focus on things, whatever isn't. So I wanna leave you with a thought to just, we are God's people, and it's so important that we be a grateful people. That we do the things that God instructed us to, which is to focus on the things that, focus on the good, meditate on that which is good, take every thought captive. Every one of us goes through stuff. I mean, life just happens to everyone. And we have days, you know what, and tragedies that we need to overcome and losses. And then we have, you know what, wonderful days and things that we celebrate. And these days are called our life, you know what, and life happens. You know what, and it happens to all of us. Many of us have lost people that we love. Death is part of the process of life. And if it comes too early, you know what, through sickness and disease, or whether it happens naturally at the end of a good life, it hurts either way, you know what, to lose people that we love. And so what I wanted to say is, in this season, and every day, quite frankly, but at this season, we have a tendency, we have to remind ourselves, you know what, that we are a blessed people, and that we have much to be grateful for. I was talking with my baby brother this week on the phone with my mom, and my baby brother, I think he was 7 years old when he was sick. Like, I remember him very young. We've got pictures of him at the hospital, and they had him all tented up like Bubble Boy. You know, he was just all, you know what, and they're trying to figure out what was going on. He ended up, at that very young age, we found out that he was a diabetic. And so his whole life has been just a difficult life with a lot of challenges. He's had amputations and his eyesight, all kinds of stuff has happened. Transplant of his pancreas, and then it rejected at some point, and just a lot of stuff. And every single year, he would get sick. Every year without fail. He's got pneumonia 2-3 times in the wintertime. They live in Chicago, and he'd always end up in the hospital in Wisconsin. And as we were talking to my brother this week on the phone, and my brother, if you met him, and some of you have met him, he's been here. If you've met him, he is joyful. He is happy. Like, he just brings, he's like a joy bringer. He walks in and he's funny, and he's got a beautiful personality, and he's just great. And so my children all adore Uncle Todd. You know what I mean? He's just fun to be around. And my brother, as we were talking to him this week, he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And my mom was saying, "Well, you know," and he said, "Hey, Mom, you know what? Want me to tell you what helps me?" He said, you know what happened to me one time? And I said, "Oh, Todd, share your wisdom." You know what I mean? He's my baby brother. And he said, "I used to get down about stuff." And he's had a lot to be down about. You know what? And he said, but one year when I went to the hospital, remember, he'd always get pneumonia and he'd always end up in the hospital. He said, "One year when I went to the hospital," he said, "and I was just down on stuff and, you know what, kind of hating life," he said, "I walked in and there was a young boy there." I don't remember if this was between 5 and 7. I really don't remember his exact age, but he was young. And he said, "And I saw this boy there, and he was a quadriplegic. He didn't have any of his limbs. And he was there for a transplant on top of that." And he said, "Here I was kind of belly aching about the fact that, you know what, that here I was in the hospital again. You know what, I think he was there one Christmas, and he said, here I am in the hospital again. I'm always getting pneumonia." And he said, "I felt, when I saw that young boy," he said, "I just felt so ashamed of my attitude and how I felt, you know what, about what was going on in my life when I saw what he was going through." And he had a wonderful disposition, the little boy. And so he said, ever since that day, and I didn't know that about my brother. That was kind of interesting. That's the first time he had ever shared that with me. But here's what I do know about my brother. If you're in his presence, he's focusing on what is good. You know what? He's happy. You know what? No matter what's going on, he's got a good disposition. And so, but he shared with me and my mom this week that day at the hospital changed his life. And he said, "I felt so ashamed of myself. I just said, you know what? I've got so much to be grateful for." And it changed him that he began to look at what was good in his life and not what wasn't good in his life. And every one of us, we can do that. Every one of us, that's a choice that God tells us to make. And then he gives us, you know what, advice and says, choose life. You know what? Focus on that which is good. You know what? So wherever you're at in this season in your life, whatever's going on around you, focus on that which is good. Take every thought captive. When a thought comes to you about what isn't, grab that thought and cast it away. And then focus on what is. And have a merry, merry Christmas as you do that. We all have much to be grateful for. And I think we've all heard this saying, you know, there's always someone you know what, who is a lot less fortunate than you are. So be grateful, you know what, for what you have. Amen. So you guys have a Merry Christmas.